You have to be 55 or better.
We're better than 55.
You'll be growing older, but not up.
Oh, so wait a minute. So the slogan is, don't grow up, just grow old.
No, don't grow old, just grow up.
No, they said you're not going to grow up. You're just, you can grow old.
It says growing older, not up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't like that either. I was trying to help it out. Yeah. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie's going to kick off?
I am going to kick it off today.
She's kicked it off.
Yes. Jaquetta, how are you today?
I am exhausted. I just finished up a long semester as a grad student, and I am beat. For all of you who are out there who are students, I get it. I forgot about it. Now I remembered. It's awful.
It is awful.
You just want to sleep for 48 hours.
Yes. Yes. You do.
Yeah. After you've written that 38-page paper that no one's going to read but your teacher.
Yeah. Well, speaking of sleeping, I have what your sleeping positions with a partner. What does it say about your relationship?
Okay. I sleep fist flying. I sleep Rocky style.
Okay. We all sleep, but did you know the way
we all sleep?
That's how it opens.
They were like, the editor was like, do something universal at the top.
Yeah. Yeah, but what does it say about us as individuals?
It says we're tired.
Yeah. It says if you sleep on your back, it often means you're the strong, silent type.
Huh?
And if you sleep on your stomach, it typically means you have an open, gregarious, and playful personality. No,
really?
It doesn't.
It means I'm hiding my soft parts. I don't want to get slashed.
Yeah.
Or like eaten when the werewolf comes in. Are you kidding me? Sleeping on your back is a bold move.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you just don't care.
So what happens when you throw different sleeping styles and personalities into one bed?
How many people are in this bed?
Or really, any two individual personalities into one of the most intimate and venerable situations we humans experience.
Venerable?
It says venerable.
We're sleeping in a bed together. Is that something to, whatever, to revere?
Yeah. Okay. When we sleep, our subconscious minds take over. Because of this, the body language we use with a partner while we snooze can be remarkably precise way to gauge what's going on in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. If you're like, don't poke me in the back. You poke me in the back again, I'm putting these feet on you. And they are cold.
So there's a couple of common or popular couple sleeping positions. And these are the secrets.
This is a two-man job.
Okay. So there's the spoon. Everyone's familiar with the spoon.
Also known as the fork. Things aren't going that well.
Yes, this is, let's see, according to a study done by a relationship psychologist, the position is adopted by one-fifth of couples.
Okay.
And demonstrates a dynamic in which one partner takes a protective stance over the other.
Okay.
Although it's sweet, it can also be a little saucy.
Hey.
It is a very vulnerable position that's sexual but says, I trust you.
For whom? The one at the back is not vulnerable for them. Is it?
No, the one
that's
being
the one in the front.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like I'm
I see that as I'm cold. Wrap yourself around.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't always have to be saucy.
Yeah.
I don't feel vulnerable because there's always a back kick. Or an elbow.
Right.
So and a headbutt also, a backward headbutt will take care of that. I'm very romantic.
Then there's one called the loose spoon.
Excuse me. Disclaimer.
New couples tend to have the most physical contact in bed, but once a relationship matures, the novelty of sharing a
bed gets old.
Yeah.
Is this once it matures?
Yeah.
The bloom is off that rose.
Yeah, the loose spoon is typically what a couple that are fans of spooning eventually do once their relationship matures.
So it's still you're in the same position, but one of you is in the living room doing it.
Yeah.
And the other one in the bedroom, on the side of the bed,
right,
furthest from the living room. I got this.
Yeah, so they kind of are, it's still that spoon position, but there's space between you.
Okay.
And it says, I've got your back, you can count on me, but it's not as sexual as spooning closer.
I don't want anything to do with you, sexually.
Yeah, but I'm
still here. You're okay.
Okay. Then there's one called the chase.
Excuse me?
This is like spooning, but it's when one person is in pursuit of the other. One person has drifted to the other side of the bed, and the other one is chasing them.
This is a slow speed chase.
Yes.
You've only got a few feet to work with.
I know.
Okay, so someone's backing away from the spoon?
Yeah.
And the other spoon is backing up towards
it. Yeah, the one's like, you can't get away from me.
Yes, slowly.
This can mean two things. That the one person who is being chased wants to be pursued or is playing hard to get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so you could, if you scrunch over to the edge of the bed.
It's like, coming.
Yeah, come over here.
Yeah, come and get me.
Or
want to be pursued. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll come and get you.
I'll be over there in 3 feet. Like, okay.
There's one called the tangle.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's even more rare than the spoon.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you. It tends to happen when there's an intense emotion at play. Or at the start of a romantic relationship.
Or blackouts.
Yeah.
You started up something like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, it's like with the legs and arms and they're facing each other.
Akimbo.
Yeah. Yes. And then the unraveling knot.
Huh?
Yes. This position starts with the tangle position, but it unravels after 10 minutes.
Because no one can maintain it.
You can't. You can't be in, like, all arms and legs
and
fall asleep that way.
You always see in these, and you know I am no friend of romance, everyone who's ever encountered me if you listen to the show, but you know, you see in movies that people wake up in each other's arms. I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, nobody wakes
up. You might wake up and then get into one another's arms, but like, that's, you slept like that all night?
Yeah. How did you do that?
Really?
And then here's the Liberty Lovers.
Yes. They're sleeping with other people. Yeah. In whatever style they feel comfortable. Spoon, if, when tangled
you,
knot.
When you and your partner sleep facing opposite directions with space in between.
Mm-hmm.
And this is good because
breath is stank
it's
in
a
the
good
morning.
Thing. Yeah. Couples that sleep back to back without touching are connected and secure in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows closeness and independence in a relationship. And about 27% of couples prefer sleeping this way.
I think it's just more comfortable for me. I'm not the soundest sleeper. And so I sleep on the edge of the bed with my back. Because if I start to move around, I don't want to be, you know, mm-hmm. flailing around. I cannot sleep on my back, though. That makes me uncomfortable. I feel like I'm in a coffin.
Oh, on your back?
I feel like I should have my hands crossed on my chest and I should raise up.
Straight legs.
Yeah, with straight legs.
Straight legs and just sit up like Mike Myers.
Yeah.
On Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
Okay, then there's the back kissers. If you sleep back to back, but you touch with your butts or backs, it's also a good thing.
Okay.
But it's also novel. It means
it's novel.
Both partners are relaxed and comfortable with one another.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this position is more common among newer couples or those who have been together for under a year.
Then so what happens when you've been together a really long time? This is the one you use on the couch.
Yeah, right. Well, there's also the nuzzle when one partner rests their head on the other's chest.
Okay. How long can that last, though? Again.
It can't. You know, all these things where you're too, like...
A few minutes.
Yeah.
And then you have to get comfortable.
And then there's the leg hug with just legs.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm a short person. I don't know.
Yeah. That also means you crave emotional or sexual connection.
Okay. From the feet.
Yeah.
From the feet up.
And then there's the space hog.
Oh, these guys are the worst.
Yeah, when a partner takes the starfish position and they sprawl out and hog the bed.
Yeah.
Then that means they tend to be selfish.
Tend to be. They are selfish. Yeah. Taking up all the space. Who sleeps like a starfish?
Yeah, one partner dominates the space while the other takes a secondary role.
Ooh. And tries to, like, fit around the starfish.
Yeah.
This is as bad as people who sleep diagonally. Because I'm like, you know what? No.
Oh, yeah, right? It's like...
They're not splayed out, but they're sleeping, you know, they're taking up as much space as they possibly can.
Right.
Boo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
The starfish. So I have some barnyard news. We like to report on animals that are in the barnyard and animals that are out of the barnyard. And I'm actually angry about this. We talk about wolves all the time and how important wolves are to the environment, how majestic they are. So some jackass shot the white wolf that was in Yellowstone.
Oh, you're kidding.
There is a $24,000 reward for the person who shot this wolf. They didn't kill the wolf. The wolf had to be put down.
Oh.
I don't know why this is even happening. It says, Yellowstone officials euthanized a severely injured wolf after hikers found the animal suffering on the northern edge of the park in Gardner, Montana, April 11th. It was a 12-year-old wolf that was killed with the alpha female of a group of wolves dubbed the Canyon Pack that are very popular and well-known among photographers. And this is their space.
Yeah.
Like, they're allowed to be here. Like, it's
their... Why are people shooting in a reserve?
I have no idea. I have no idea. It says, park officials have not commented on a motive for a wolf's killing. I'm going to comment. The motive is asshole. Mm-hmm. But many hunting outfitters and ranchers oppose the presence of wolves in the park because they prey on big game animals popular with hunters. Okay, you know what? You're not the only hunter, buddy.
Yeah.
Such as elk, and sometimes kill cattle on pastures outside Yellowstone. Then get your fucking cattle away from Yellowstone, man.
Exactly.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
This is Yellowstone.
Yes.
This is where the animals
this
can
is,
roam
yes,
free.
This is where they can
and
do
if you don't
thing.
Like that, you leave.
Yeah. The shooting happened at a time of transition for wolves in nearby Wyoming, where federal appeals court said they could be removed from the Endangered Species Protection Act. Environmentalists persuaded the judge to put them back on. And they have a in Wyoming, there's a shoot-on-site provision for wolves. So if you see a wolf, you can just shoot it.
I think that's terrible.
I think we need to arm these wolves.
Yeah.
Or I'm more than happy to go out and defend these wolves.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. I'm sorry, but I actually do care more about wolves than I do about these people and their cattle. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The cattle and the hunters.
Don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care. So basically, the wolf was found shot more than 75 miles from where it could be legally shot. In Wyoming 2 weeks later when wolves had been taken off the danger list. The dead wolf was double the average age of a Yellowstone wolf, had at least 20 pups, 14 of which were yearlings. She was with the same alpha wolf for more than 9 years. So they had a whole family.
And they were together in
and they were
big
together.
Relationship?
Yep. They were, you know, doing their thing and some jackass felt like they had to shoot her. I wish animals could shoot back. I really do. That's ridiculous.
Well, we all love the story of the elephants.
Yes.
That
did you hear the full story?
No.
So I
this
read
is about
up on
this
it.
Is the guy went out hunting and
yeah,
he shot
it was
an
a
elephant.
White South African big game hunter.
Right, and he shot an elephant and it fell on him and crushed him.
Well, no.
That's
his friend.
Right.
Okay, so this is the full story because
okay.
I was like, what? How did that happen? So they were chasing a small herd of elephants that were sisters.
Mm-hmm.
They were using dogs to flush them out by
right.
some method. He was like, this is a European method that I've developed. I think it's called, once again, being an asshole.
Yeah.
So they had flushed these elephants out, and he was getting ready to set up his shot. Out of nowhere, the fourth elephant, a sister, comes charging out of the brush.
Good.
How? She must have been tracking them. They didn't see her. She ran up on the dude who was going to be taking the shot, picked him up in her trunk.
Nice.
And when the rest of his party got on, they shot the elephant, and then she fell in her death, felt crushed him to death.
Nice.
Yes. So
that's
she
what
was
happened.
Just trying to
she...
protect her family.
Wow.
Good for her.
You know
she
what?
She goes down the Elephant Hall of Fame. Those guys should be ashamed of themselves. I don't understand, and frankly, I don't care to understand the joy in shooting something like an elephant. You're not going to eat it.
Yeah.
It wasn't bothering you. It wasn't bothering your livestock, and you probably should not have been anywhere near it in the first place.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like,
exactly. I don't understand hunting the whole
no.
thing nowadays. You
I
just
get
don't.
It for people who eat it, but...
But no, these hunters are the ones that was like, I shot an elephant, I shot a tiger, I shot a hippo, I shot this,
I shot
that.
Is it hard to do that? Is it really, really hard to kill an animal with a gun? I say you go out there, mano y mano, and fight a tiger if you're that badass.
Yeah.
Don't take a gun.
Yeah, don't take a gun.
Don't take a gun. Go out there with a hunting knife the way people used to do it and see what happens. And I hope you get eaten. The sad part about it is that guy was not kind of, I mean, he had 5 kids. And he still decided to go out and put himself in danger in that way. So I don't know what his family's going to do, but I hope he had insurance.
Yeah.
I don't have to say. If that's the kind of stuff that your husband does, he should have insurance.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know,
right?
You
should
out
have insurance.
Hunting wild animals.
You know, there's some stuff, I mean, that you just don't do when you have children.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of them.
Yeah.
You don't do the kind of dangerous big game hunting.
Yeah, the high risk
unless
stuff.
You're so arrogant as to think that it's not a risk, but... Mm-hmm. I really don't, like, I've done some rifle stuff when I was a kid. I've never shot any animals. I've shot targets and things like that. I don't see how it'd be difficult to kill an elephant. They're so big.
Yeah.
So.
It's like, why?
You know
target-wise.
Yes.
It's like pretty decent
it's
target
like,
to hit.
Oh, I wonder if I can shoot a 16-passenger van as it stops to graze.
Yeah.
And it's in the parking lot.
Yes,
like,
it stops for gas.
Yes, as it stops for gas. Am I going to be able to hit it? I don't know. I'm a great white hunter. Let's see.
Yeah.
You know. So, barnyard animals, keep going.
Yeah.
Strike back, baby. Can you imagine? And I know elephants are very intelligent. I wonder if she was like, I'm a die, but so are you, motherfucker.
Yeah, well, obviously she's intelligent. She was tracking them and surprised him and grabbed.
That's the crazy part, is that they didn't see her. Where was she? Like, what was she hiding behind?
Probably one guy was like, hey, let's talk about this elephant in the room. And they're like, well, yeah.
But it, really, they're chasing three big elephants. They don't see the fourth elephant, just cleverly behind, like, a potted palm?
Yeah.
I'm like, where was she? And how long was she tracking them?
Yeah, and nobody knew.
I wish she trampled all of them. All of them.
Yeah.
But she saved her sisters.
She's like, my sisters.
Yeah, good for her. And she killed one dude. The other two dudes survived. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, oh, man. I would like to dress up as an elephant and just keep appearing.
Yeah.
Around those guys like, hey, doing, huh?
Right, they'll never forget that for the rest of their lives.
Losers.
Got the four R's. Rehearse, record, rinse, or repeat. To all
languages, 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLineNYC.
I have, so this is about Trump meets orb.
What is going on with this picture?
Okay,
so I've been hearing about this, but I've been so busy finishing up stuff for finals, and I just saw a picture of this jackass holding an orb, and I thought it was a joke. So, what is it?
Okay, so basically, Trump went and he met the Egyptian president and the Saudi king.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
it's the three shadier men have never assembled.
Apparently, to visit a center to fight extremism.
Really?
In Saudi Arabia.
Really?
Yeah.
And the Egyptian president was there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll let you do your history on is it Morsi or Sisi? Whichever it was, it is right now, and you make the distinction.
It's Sisi.
Okay,
Sisi. Sisi is the president.
Yeah. Not exactly a peace
of Egypt. And Abul Aziz is the Saudi king.
Mm. Oh, they're known for peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay, so on his recent trip there to Saudi Arabia, the three of them were captured in a photo putting their hands on a glowing orb. And this comical picture has launched 1,000 jokes and memes about crystal balls. But it turns out they were not trying to divine the future or electrocute themselves, which probably would have been the better.
Yeah.
It was not a crystal ball at all. It was an illuminated globe meant to represent the world as part of an event showcasing the Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology.
With those jackasses there, couldn't they have had anything that stood for peace there?
Yeah.
Anything that stood for peace.
Yeah.
And not demagoguery, because those are three bad dudes.
Yeah. Three bad guys
three
with their
really
hands
bad guys even on the world.
On the world. The glowing world.
Where is karma when you need it?
Yeah. But it's, but what about, if it were a crystal ball, it wouldn't be so surprising. There's a practice of crystal gazing. It's been common for a millennia all over the world.
Yeah.
Let's see. So some of the weirdest uses for crystal gazing. There are five facts about crystal balls.
Okay, cool.
Okay. There's the druid roots. The ancient druids. This is what they would do is they would look into a shiny reflective surface.
It could be like obsidian.
It's scrying. We talked
about
that.
Yeah, it's scrying, yeah. Maybe a mirror.
Yes. So that is the means for divining new information or predicting the future, scrying. Mm-hmm. So they used crystals, mirrors, water, any kind of reflective glass, anything would do.
Let me just, as a side note, no women could ever be photographed doing that because they would surely try to burn us afterwards
right.
for being witches or some kind of. These assholes looking creepy in their creepy outfits.
Right.
With their creepiness.
Right. If you were, yes, pick any of the, any three women.
Yeah.
Female leaders.
Touching a glowing ball.
Oh, you
would never hear the end of
right,
it.
Right,
right. Or that they would have probably come back and been like, it says you're a dick. That's what we learned before you burn us.
Yeah, the Chinese did it, but it was a criminal offense to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
So they must have a lot of fear around it then. Mm-hmm. People must have been finding shit out.
Mm-hmm. It's been a forbidden practice around the world, according to the major religions. Okay. You know,
the big three don't like
the
anything.
Big three don't. Yes, the big three do not want.
Why I feel like Hindus might slide.
Yeah,
Buddhists might be like, I don't know. Yeah, let's see how it works.
Well, it says in the Old Testament. Christian right. religion. It expressly forbids divination, saying, for these nations which you are about to dispose, listen to the fortune tellers and to diviners.
That sounds like I should listen to them.
Yeah. But as for you, the Lord your God has not allowed you to do this.
Yes. It's okay for them.
Yeah. But not for you.
You just be in the dark. Don't try. Yes.
The Quran expressly forbids it.
Okay.
Yeah,
these guys get in trouble for doing this? Because
people get in trouble. Yeah, everybody gets in trouble.
Like Morsi and the king or whatever, they're most definitely Muslims.
Yeah.
They're probably from different sects, but like, I'm sure Muslims were like, yo, are really doing this?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
With this crazy white Nazi?
I bet you anything. It really was a crystal ball, but then they put in the continents. Just to like kind of say, oh, it's really
I wish it had been one of those things from Spencer's Gifts that's like zzz, where like where the electricity comes out when you touch it.
Yeah.
That would have been more fun.
And their hair raised up.
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth I used to have a advisor who would gaze into his crystal ball.
Well, that horse thief, she probably had a lot of stuff going on.
Let's see, and they also consider crystal balls to be a force for angelic communications.
A force of angels tonight.
I talked to a force of angels today.
Yeah, it's like a flock of seagulls. Yeah. A murder of crows. A force of angels. A pod of whales.
Yeah,
I like it. So that's the orb thing. I'm like, those guys to me. I'm at the point now where leadership. The idea of world leaders, I don't care. Do what you're going to do, guys, because we got to get on with our lives. Like, it's the rest of us who are actually making the country and the world run.
Yeah.
While they're dicking around and feeling up balls or whatever it is that they're doing with their weird costumes and their silly meetings.
Yeah.
You know? Right,
exactly, yes.
Ain't nobody got time for that. We got to work.
And this... Did you see him shove the other leader out of the way?
I'm not surprised. I am waiting for him. Take that shit to Africa.
Yeah, and
where
see what happens.
Get shoved back.
Yeah.
Or do that in Asia, where they're very polite.
He put his hand on the guy, and it seemed to the other guy that he was like...
Going to have a word?
Yeah, like, oh, what do you want to say to me? And so he turned to him like, oh, and he just shoved him
aside. We need some Gerald Ford. He needs to start getting tripped.
Yeah.
He needs to fall down.
But he doesn't care. Everyone's going to be, that's like, you know, his supporters will be like, that's great.
Oh, that's fine. I'll care. I'll enjoy it. It's not for them. They don't know what's going on. You know, when they learn to read and put shoes on, then they can talk about that. But I'm not interested until that day happens. That's right. I'm painting people with broad brush. I don't care.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Shoving people aside. What's wrong with you? Somebody should have backhanded him. Like, remember this?
Yeah.
Like, he's obviously never had discipline in his entire life. It will happen.
As he
travels around the world, he's going to eventually offend someone, and it's not going to be cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the U.S. doesn't lift a finger to try to you know, save his honor, because he doesn't have any.
In Germany, there was somebody in Germany, they wrote an article saying, you know, he's turned the U.S. into a laughing stock.
Turned? Like, I think we've always been a laughing stock.
Yeah.
But, like, I hope he goes to Singapore and gets caned.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, I want him to go to a place and do something that's wrong, and they have to be like, well, I'm sorry, you have to take the consequences.
Because this is our law. Yeah. If you come here and we don't care who you are.
We don't care. And they should cane him. They should
and lock him up.
And I think they should take his hair. They should forbid him to wear the hair.
Yeah.
There's got to be somewhere who will take care of that. So, speaking of old people, Jimmy Buffett is planning to break ground on a second location of luxurious Margaritaville active adult community.
All right.
This guy just don't stop.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I used to always hear, like, the more fun older white people were listening to, like, Jimmy Buffett.
Mm-hmm.
Like, partying and, you know.
It's always a tiki party.
Yeah. And I never understood
tiki torches.
Because it wasn't really a part of my culture, but I knew those people were pretty cool.
Mm.
Like, they were, you know, making margaritas. I'm like, you're making margaritas?
And
like,
they passed something around.
On Wednesday. Yeah, they're all wearing captain's hats.
Yeah.
For some reason, everyone's got a Hawaiian shirt. So it's called, they have one already, Latitude Margaritaville in Hilton Head. It's 3,000 homes, starting from $200,000 each. Yeah, that's not bad. For those of us from the New York area, that's not bad. You have to be 55 or better.
We're better than 55. Yes.
You'll be growing older, but not up. So they're developing it. It's in South Carolina. 2,700 acres, a 72-acre site for a...
Oh, so wait a minute. So the slogan is Don't grow up, just grow old.
No, don't grow old, just grow up.
No, they said you're not going to grow up. You're just, you can oh, that was grow me. Old.
It says growing older, not up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I don't like that either. I was trying to help it out. Yeah. So it's being developed by something called Minto Communities.
Minto.
And Margaritaville Holdings, a lifestyle brand inspired by Jimmy Buffett. The preferences, so they have two and they want to do more. Preferences include temperature, climate, coastal locations, easy to access to the interstate. This is really important for old people.
Yeah.
When we get to be in our 50s, we'd be like, too far from the interstate.
It's too far from this interstate.
Where's the turnpike? I can't even smell it from here. Places of higher education for ongoing enrichment. I am never setting foot in another fucking college again. I don't care. Yeah. Access to shopping, entertainment, conveniences. There's a wait list.
Really?
For potential buyers and for this property. So the Latitude Margarita.
A wait list?
Yeah, wait list.
So a velvet rope? And you stamp your hand when you get in?
So it says here, the Daytona Beach location has 7,000 two- and three-bedroom homes, and it's going to be open by 2018. In the first 2 weeks, 10,000 people put offers on it. And
wow.
It started.
Wow.
Now there are more than 70,000 people. And the branch sales center is not even open yet. This is the 40th anniversary of Margaritaville State of Mind since 1977, and he's turned it into a lifestyle brand. He is listed as one of America's wealthiest celebrities at $550 million, and his holdings in the United States and the Caribbean are 4 casinos, more than 60 restaurants, including Margarita Grill, JW Prime Steak and Seafood, the 5 O'Clock Somewhere Bar and Grill.
Really?
And this Land Shark Bar and Grill. And also there's Land Shark Beer, which yeah. I think you've had Land Shark Beer
yes,
before.
Yes, yes, yes. And they made, I think, one of the stadiums for the Super Bowl. They made Land Shark, was the name of the stadium for the Super Bowl.
Wow. Yeah, so yeah. It says, both of our current Latitude communities are golf cart friendly. Good, because everybody will be drunk.
Yeah.
And they promote the use of neighborhood electric vehicles. Oh, that's good. So instead of driving cars around, like, everyone's going to have, like, the little vehicles that they can put around.
That's great. It sounds good.
It's just really interesting because these are boomers, right? And I always think of them as selfish, isolated, childish, and complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And this fits in right with that. Like, they're all going to, like, up and move to these, like, swinging communities. Like, what about their kids, grandkids?
Mm, yeah. Like no. No, they're going to have their margaritas with a salt rim
yeah.
and a lime.
But they're only at 55. Yeah. Are you really ready to, to pull back?
Yeah.
That's early.
Yes. But they want to enjoy their lives. Remember.
And these people haven't been enjoying it the whole time. These are Margaritaville people.
Yeah.
You know, they blew out their flip-flop years ago. You know, some people say there's a woman to blame.
Yeah.
You know, but they know it's their own damn fault.
Yeah. That song, Wasting Away, again, in Margaritaville,
yeah.
Looking for my lost
shaker of salt.
Shaker. I was like a jigger of salt.
No, a shaker of salt. A jigger of salt. What are you making? A salty drink.
Yeah,
apparently.
A jigger of salt. I'm like, why would we do this?
Yeah, give me one jigger of vermouth.
Yeah.
Jigger of salt.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
I know. I thought it was.
So I've been to the casinos before. They're weird. It's just like, it's just those white people who are like real loose. You know what I mean? Like yacht rock, boat rock, kind of.
Oh,
having a good time.
Wait a minute. Is there something called yacht rock?
Yeah, it's like Christopher Cross, like sailing.
Oh yeah.
Away.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Mellow Gold. And the people are cool, but they're very nondescript. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
They're just like... They're
very non-committal.
I think these are the fun people in your cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was a fun family.
This was when people started getting a little bit upscale with their parties. And
yeah.
not upscale, a little fancier. Like,
so
having,
like having
themes.
Yes, themes.
They were the first ones on the block to have a theme party.
Like, everyone gets a hula skirt when you come in.
Yeah.
Or, like, everyone wear Hawaiian shirts. If you don't have them, don't worry. We've got them.
Yes.
Or they've ordered flip-flops with, like, you know, your initials on them.
Right.
Or towels or something like
or
that.
Or you wear name tags and they give you a funny name.
Yeah.
And then you wear that.
Yeah.
People call you Sizzle Chest.
Yeah, and that's the fun of it. That's yeah. Margaritaville. 55 or better.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. What horrifies me about this is like, are we going to have this stuff? Is it going to be?
What is
like,
going to be
gonna
our?
Be? Everyone's dead. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what...
People are dropping. People are not lasting.
Yeah, people are dipping out the back. I don't know who would... What band... Also, to keep in mind, this is just white people.
Mm-hmm.
Our generation, I think, is a little more multicultural, so it'd be harder to put something together like this. But I'm trying to think of, what is a band that everyone likes? Everyone likes Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi Land.
Yeah. Right. That's great for New Jersey people.
But for everybody, yeah. Black people... White people of, I think anyone who was born in the 70s grew up enjoying Bon Jovi. And I don't even particularly like that kind of music, but I like Bon Jovi.
Right. Yeah, there's a man in New Jersey running for governor, and his name is Phil Murphy.
Okay.
And he seems to be the front runner Democrat of this race.
Is he using songs from Bon Jovi?
Well, he's teamed up with Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi is for Phil Murphy. And I got the email saying, hey, Katie, do you want to meet Phil Murphy and John Bon Jovi?
You're like, who's the first guy I want to meet Bon Jovi?
Yeah.
Phil who? That's cool.
I'm like, oh, so this guy is like
he's
teaming up
with Bon Jovi. I would consider it a Bon Jovi theme retirement party. Slippery when wet.
Yeah.
Happy hour.
Watch your hip.
Yes.
This floor is slippery when wet.
Slippery when wet.
And, that's our theme drink.
It's like you give love a bad name, Lane.
Yeah.
You know, like, you gotta be creative with it. All right, what do you have?
Hey, you know it is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine. And there's a Living on a Prayer buffet.
Yes, Living on a Prayer buffet. I like Bon Jovi.
I do too. All right, I have some advice.
Okay, sorry. I'm like, you do? Great.
Yeah.
Advice on Advice is a segment where we find advice on the end of that. It's unqualified.
And it stinks.
And we improve upon it by giving our advice on the advice. Hence, advice on advice. So who is this from? Is it Prude?
It's Prudence.
Yay.
Dear Prudence. Okay. All right, so the question is, I've been with my boyfriend for about 6 months.
Congratulations.
Yeah, he's been wonderful with my 4-year-old son, who just started calling him daddy.
Yikes. And is the real daddy like, yo?
Yeah, exactly.
And ain't your daddy.
And we recently started living together. The problem is, he just told me he considers me only an 8.5.
Out of what?
On the hotness scale.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
What the hell? Would you be okay with that at 8.5?
Yeah, and doesn't think our sex life is the best he's ever had, but he's happy to settle based on the whole package.
Okay, so you're a B+. The sex is also, a C? This is a passing grade.
Yeah. I think we're very well matched, hotness-wise, but I don't compare him to other men.
So you think he's also an 8.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't compare him to other men in that way.
Bullshit.
I've also...
Bullshit, lady. Are you kidding me? Everyone compares everything to everything.
Yeah. I've also tried to improve our sex life without much luck.
I'm going to try something else, then.
My question is, how should I feel about his revelation? Do I deserve more from a partner in terms of feeling sexy and loved? Or should I stick with it for the sake of my son?
Huh? Okay. I think she went too far there.
Yeah.
Like... An 8.5 is not bad.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
He should lie and say that you're, a Victoria's Secret model or whatever his concept of ultimate sexiness is. And in terms of the sex, like, really? You've tried everything?
Yeah. Tried everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on.
There's a lot of things to try.
There's a lot of stuff out there. And there's also, the first place to start is having a conversation with your partner about what your partner likes, because there's so much out there.
Mm-hmm.
How could you guess?
Yeah.
So if you're trying out stuff, you're coming home dressed like various foods, or, you know, you're going,
dressed like various.
You're going through a roster of, you know, different kind of service uniforms. Or
today I'm a pizza. What do
you like a stewardess? Or, yeah, okay. You know, if you're that kind of thing. And maybe he's not into that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, maybe you're knocking on all the wrong doors.
Yeah, you got to find out what the guy is into. Also, do you know what you like?
Yeah.
What makes you feel sexy? Because that could, you know, do a lot right there. If you're feeling sexy and that transmits, the dude might be, okay, well, forget the hot dog costume.
Yeah. Okay, so the advice is, I'm trying to imagine how this came up in conversation. Darling, I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm so happy to be able to tell you, you're a solid 8.5 out of 10. Very nearly a 9. I understand if you want to take a minute to call your parents. Also, I've had better sex in the past. I won't bother you with the details, but it's been better.
Let me just say, it was good.
I'm not going to dump you over it. It's definitely good enough for me. However, anyhow, 8.5, a solid 8.5. I don't think it's a requirement that a happy, fulfilling relationship also provide the best sex all the time. But I do think it's incredibly odd and casually cruel that your partner thinks it's necessary, A, to rank you on a 10-point scale of hotness,
okay,
B, inform you of your ranking, and C, describe your sex life as something he's happy to settle for.
He just sounds like a really honest guy. Like, you might not like the way he's expressing himself, but it's honest.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good place to start to have a conversation about it. So if you don't like this kind of rating, then tell him to fuck off.
Yeah.
But if their relationship is such that they have this kind of frank conversation and they kind of, you know, are reductionist about things, then I think there's... Because if someone told me, like, hey, you're an 8.5, and I was really like, well, how can I get to 10? Maybe it's like, you know, work out a little bit.
Maybe that was his way of complimenting her.
Yeah.
Saying,
maybe,
you know,
maybe it was.
Most people I see are fives.
Maybe he thinks... That's what I'm saying. Maybe 10 is like, you know... Iman. Or, let's be honest. Like, most people are not there. 8.5 is not bad. He's saying the sex life isn't that great, but he doesn't care.
Yeah. Good.
I don't have any problems with this dude.
Yeah. So I'll just keep serving it up as I've been doing.
Yeah. Or if you want to kick it up a notch, then be like, hey, because a sex life involves at least two people. Minimum two people. Talk about what you guys can do to get your sex life be where it is. Maybe you're not having sex enough. I mean, you have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something, and it's a small kid. So sometimes
the kid is 4. They're running around.
And the kid is not, it's not a baby. A baby, you just put in another room, put the baby monitor on, get to your business. But this is a 4-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So.
And they get into everything.
Yeah.
Even your goodie drawer.
Yeah. So I would just say have a conversation. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
All right. Huh. Interesting. So I have a piece of advice.
Sorry.
I'm going to do penis news. Penis news is a segment where I find news of the member on the move, scrotum stories, dick updates, and I present them here to you. This is a weird one.
All right.
A black man who has had the world's third penis operation is to have his new organ tattooed because the donor penis was white.
Oh.
How weird would that be?
Wow. Wait a minute. A couple of things here. It's his third operation.
No. This is the third successful transplant.
It's not his third penis. Oh, I was going to say the first two didn't take.
This is the first penis he's had.
They were rejected from his body. His body was like, what is this? You're kidding me with this.
So he's got this white dude donated a penis.
All right.
Nice. And this is in South Africa. A 40-year-old is only the third patient to undergo the procedure at Tygerberg Hospital, Cape Town. Now he will be able to have sex and urinate standing up within 6 months for the first time in 17 years. He lost his penis as the result of a botched circumcision as a child.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, but I have, I don't know a whole lot about circumcisions, but I have a lot of friends whose cultures... use them,
as
a rite of passage. And I ain't never heard any shit like this.
Yeah.
You're just supposed to take off the foreskin, dude. You're just taking off the foreskin. What are you doing that you took the whole penis off?
Oh.
How is that even possible?
Or maybe was there an infection?
It just says a botched traditional circumcision. So they're saying traditional. Maybe it was done not in sanitary conditions.
Yeah.
And something like that happened. So anyway, he didn't have a dick. Professor Andra Vandramera, a lot going on there, said the patient is black but the donor is white. We have very few donors. for the transplant procedure, but that is the only tissue left, so we used it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but did they ask him beforehand?
I'm sure they were like, look, it's a white dick. Are you going to be okay with this? Mm. Because it does look dramatically different.
Yes.
Like, no one is ever going to look at a white penis on a black guy and think that that's his penis.
Yeah.
So he's going to have...
I would imagine they'd be like...
He's going to have the entire thing tattooed to make it look black. That is going to be so painful. I'm like, couldn't you guys have done that before?
But that's what I said. Yeah, exactly.
I have tattoos, and I'm not getting any tattoos anywhere near a sensitive area like that. It's painful enough.
Yeah, I would imagine they should have done that beforehand.
But he says he's one of the happiest patients we've seen in our ward. Penis is working already. He's already getting hard. So it worked.
All right. Well, good for him.
Once again, there's no difference between white people and black people. Sorry. We put this dick on this guy and it worked. What does that say?
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah, of course. It's like, gonna, yeah.
So the patient is expected to regain all urinary and reproductive functions of the organ within 6 months of the transplant. I'm wondering if he has kids. Will they be black? Or this situation. The man had been in relationships before, but whenever the question of sex arose, he bailed.
He's like, I like you, but I gotta...
Yeah, I don't have a penis. This will no longer be a problem. So they explain that tattooing can be applied in the case of penis transplants, just like it is for nipples after mastectomy. So there are special tattoo artists who do medical tattoos to make whatever area you have look not like a tattoo, but look naturally.
Right.
So as if you have like a breast cancer, you have a reconstruction or a mastectomy, they can form a nipple, but then they have to tattoo it in order to make it look like, you know,
Right.
Which I find fascinating. What a job. You know? Like,
that's weird. Talk about doing good in the world.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, you gotta be good.
Yeah.
You can't make a mistake. Because it's gotta look like a nipple. You can't be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
You know?
It'll be like a winky.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, man. Yeah. The shading's off. Well, fix it.
Oh, my God.
So, all right, what do you have?
Let's see. I have Tales from the Campfire.
All right, Tales from Dear Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet of folklore, fake lore, paranormal, ghost stories, urban legends.
Scary stuff.
And we tell them here on the digital campfire, so gather around.
Yeah, gather around, listeners. This is called a mischievous entity.
Okay.
Yes.
Generic.
takes place in Texas.
Okay. Well, that is mischievous.
Yeah. To start with, let me say, while I've always been fascinated with the concept of ghosts and the supernatural, it's not necessarily something I believe in. I'm agnostic, irreligious, and tend to hold the idea that everything that occurs in our natural world must have some sort of valid explanation.
Did I write this? Is this me? This is my doppelganger.
Prior to experiencing these things I'm about to share with you, I view ghosts and ghost stories as sort of a fun diversion from the mundane, fodder for good-natured tales of terror and horror films.
Yeah.
All right. So.
I wish some of the things were true. It would definitely make life more interesting.
Yeah.
Except we have to deal with real-life evil, like those guys feeling on that orb.
Yeah, right. But needless to say, my attitude has changed. And let me begin. The story starts November 2009.
Dun, dun, dun.
My wife and I were newly married. My wife and I were newly married, and we were expecting our first child, a daughter. We moved with our two cats into a nondescript three-bedroom, two-bath house on the corner of a typical residential neighborhood. and it was right across the street from a public school. My wife is about 2 months away from her due date, and those 2 months that we lived in the house were very quiet and uneventful. Nothing out of the ordinary began to occur until a while after our daughter was born. Okay. It is worth mentioning that a friend of my wife's, who considers herself to be sensitive to the spirit world, got a very uneasy feeling in our new home and was reluctant to set foot inside, even before anything out of the ordinary began.
That's weird.
Yeah. So somebody's like, I'm not going in there.
It's like in Paranormal Activity. It's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta get out of here. I probably shouldn't be here.
Right. In Paranormal Activity. Who was it that came in?
They tried to invite, like, a psychic in.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, see ya. Good luck. Like, I
can't even come in here.
Yeah, I can't come in here. I shouldn't be here. I gotta get out of here. But good luck to you guys.
Yeah. Things started happening September 2010, and my daughter was 9 months old. She's 7 at this time. So one Sunday morning, I was changing my daughter's diaper in the bathroom. The lights went with the lights on. I was completing my task, and the lights in the room went out. It was very early, and the sun was not out yet. So the room became dark. Naturally, I assumed the power came out, had gone out, until I noticed the light under the hall, from the hall was creeping under the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to, I didn't turn the switch off, and but the switch was off. Somebody had turned it off. It okay. wasn't that the light went out. It actually, the switch was off. Yes. But then more things started happening. And here's a few more common occurrences. Number one, many times we would wake up in the morning to find that multiple drawers and cabinets in our kitchen were open.
Oh, that's creepy.
It got to be so frequent we didn't even mind it all that much after a while. Closing cabinets and drawers became part of a morning routine.
I'd just leave that shit open.
Yeah.
I'd open the drawers and see if they get closed.
Sometimes all of them would be open and objects would be removed from them.
That's weird. That's, yeah, it's like in paranormal activity. So this is a paranormal entity in yeah. the house.
Yeah. One time an electric can opener had been removed from an upper level cabinet and placed on a countertop several feet away.
Well, that's telling you to get rid of that shit. Who has those?
Yeah. Really? An electric can opener. It's like amazing.
In the '70s they were big, and I'm like, why can't we just use this can opener?
Yeah. Just crank it.
Yeah, just crank it.
Not a big deal. Two, we had an attached laundry room in the house. Sometimes we would leave clothes in the dryer overnight while we slept, only to wake up in the morning to find the dryer open and our clothes scattered about the room, still wet.
Wow. Okay. That's not cool.
Yeah. It was more of a nuisance than anything.
Really?
Yeah. Small objects in our home would often go missing. Keys left hanging on the hook by the front door would disappear, only to reappear somewhere else days later. Books would go missing off the shelf, only to turn up in odd places like a bedroom drawer. Let's see. In one particular incident I can recall. I'm a school teacher, and I was required to wear an identification badge at one point. I always kept my badge on the table by the front door, and one day it vanished. I needed it for work, so I searched the house for weeks trying to find it. And one day, months later, the ID badge was found sitting by the computer in our spare office. Had not been there before, I surely would have noticed it.
Yeah. So I'm just being moved.
Yeah. My mother took a trip to Europe in the summer of 2011, and we brought back some glass beads.
Mm-hmm. Great.
That we were told
to kill everybody.
Yeah, we were told we're capable of warding off spirits. Mm-hmm. I didn't believe her, but I humored her, and I put a bead in the hiding place in each room in the house. Then I promptly forgot about them. Many months later, I was cleaning out the top shelf of my closet in my daughter's bedroom and found all of glass beads had been placed in a neat pile.
That's creepy.
In the very back corner of the highest shelf.
It's like, nice try, B.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah. My daughter had a little play table and two folding chairs she liked to sit in as a toddler. We would put them in the living room when she wanted to play, but normally we keep them folded up in a room in the corner when she wasn't using them. One morning, when my daughter was out of the house, spending the night at her grandmother's, I woke to found the table and chairs set up in the kitchen.
Oof. Mm. That's creepy.
Yes, and this entity, whatever it was, had a particular fondness for moving our shoes. Yeah. We would, wherever room we took our shoes off in, they seldom stayed there. You might take your shoes off in the living room, only to find them in the kitchen or the bedroom the next day.
See, this kind of stuff is creepy. This is the paranormal stuff. I find it creepier than all the other stuff. Because you don't see anything, but you see evidence. And it seems very banal, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know?
Once our daughter became old enough to talk, she would regularly speak or interact with some otherwise unseen presence in our house. Each time we pressed her to describe who or what she was talking to or interacting with, she would never answer.
Creepy.
I'm not quite sure that I believe in ghosts, but I'm definitely willing to consider the possibility now. I'm not sure what to make of it. Ghosts, residual presence, poltergeist. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the thing in paranormal activity, which is like a ghost trying to manifest.
It was a demon.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. A demon trying to manifest.
Yeah.
I am not having really much power.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all I can do, I guess, is move things around.
Yeah.
In kind of a menacing way.
Right, right.
You know?
Yes.
You can't really do anything else.
A residual presence doesn't have any power. That's
no,
just
it's just there.
It's kind of like just a hologram.
Yeah. It's like you're my best and only hope.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Yeah. But a poltergeist would be more.
So what are you supposed to do in this case like that? You just like, it's not going to, it hasn't done anything harmful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just annoying at this point. So do you just ignore it? You don't give it any more power? You just go about your business?
Well, it depends. It's
or
just
do
like,
you try to find out, is it attached to the house or is it attached to one of you? You know, what's the situation?
Yeah, but what is it trying to accomplish? That's the thing. Or is it trying to scare you to get more fear, to feed off it, to get stronger?
Possibly.
Or
but
is
that's
it
why I say,
trying to get your attention?
Didn't one of the ways of dealing with these things, I think, is simply to ignore them and not to feed them. By feed them, I mean like, you know, generate fear that they can feed off of.
Right.
You just keep about your business. Because they're not going to do anything. I mean, moving furniture around, it's annoying, but it's hardly, you know, it's hardly attacking people.
Yeah.
At this point. So I guess wait and see what happens. See if you can get it to move things in your favor.
Yeah, instead of making it everything.
Yeah. Instead of throwing the laundry into the floor, could it fold the laundry?
There is a hotel somewhere where in one of the rooms there is some kind of presence that will unpack your suitcase.
Great.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Does that presence have a brother?
Yeah, right.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
Hi everyone, it's Greg Jaquita's husband. I snuck back on to let you know that last week, in episode 319, when we talked about Harry Mudd, well, according to Captain Kirk, he was a thief, a swindler, a con man, a liar, and a rogue. His full name was Harcourt Fenton Mudd, but while he sold everything from love potions to Starfleet Academy, he did not sell tribbles. That honor belongs to Cyrano Jones. Live long and prosper.